This morning we are on to the next I am statement in John chapter 15. If you've got your Bible, turn there. John chapter 15. In this series, we're exploring the self-revelation of Jesus through seven statements beginning with the words I am. Now, who is this series for? Is this just for Christians who want to learn more about Jesus and study the Bible? Well, yes, but it is not just for Christians. The series is for anyone who wants to understand better human nature, who wants to understand themselves, who is dealing with questions of meaning and significance and satisfaction and the future in their lives. It's for all of us. The sayings of Jesus as he reveals himself to us reveal a great deal about ourselves and the world we live in. Before we begin in John 15, I wanted to share this verse that I read in my one-year Bible readings this week. Speaking of the Word of God to the people of God, they are not just idle words for you, they are your life. Deuteronomy 32, 47. That was a helpful reminder for me of what exactly is happening when I pick up my Bible and read. When we, on a Sunday morning, open our Bibles together and read the Word of God. These are not just idle words, they're our life. So with that in mind, let's read John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. We're going to see in this passage this morning two principles of abiding in Jesus, four practicals of abiding in Jesus, and two products of abiding in Jesus. Let's pray and we'll dive in. Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you that as we just read, these words are not just idle words. They're not just speculation, Lord, but these words are the words of the living God, and they are our life. Lord, I pray for us in the room here this morning that you would give us the faith and the attention that are merited by the Word of God. Pray, Lord, that you would give us grace to settle our thoughts, to settle our spirits, and to hear from you. Give us grace, Lord, to hear not optional teachings for us to consider among many in this life, Lord, but help us to hear as we are hearing words from the Lord, the King of Kings. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would fill this room during this time. We pray that as your word is spoken and studied, that you would speak. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The main idea of this theme is connection. Jesus is describing a connection with him that is possible and necessary for every person and every believer in this life. Stay connected to Jesus. If you don't get anything else in the sermon, that's what you need to get. Stay connected to Jesus. The Greek word that's translated as abide in our ESV version is the word meno. It means to remain in a place, not to depart, or to continue to be present. The message of John 15 is abide in Jesus. Remain in Jesus. Don't depart from Jesus. Continue always to be present in and with Jesus. And that word meno takes on flesh in this chapter in the image of a vine. The image of a grapevine was familiar to the people of Israel and the agricultural world that they lived in. If you've ever toured a vineyard for a wine company, you have seen this kind of imagery. A branch abides in a vine by maintaining a vital connection to the flow of water and minerals that come through the vine. There's something amazing in the design of plants. My wife loves plants. She gardens. There's plants all over our house. Sometimes I feel like my office is becoming the little shop of horrors because more and more plants just keep coming. And I think as I watch plants that they are incredible. The instinct in a plant is something wonderful to see. I have seen plants set just outside of the sun rays coming through the window, and I've watched how the leaves have somehow found the sun, and the plant has grown its way into the sunlight. I have seen a morning glory vine reaching out its tendrils, looking for something firm and solid to grasp and keep climbing. I have seen the maple helicopter seeds dropping in my neighborhood, and those things will reach out and root into anything they will find. They will root into the garbage. They will find anything that is soft that they can search for minerals and nutrients and water in. Plants have a natural instinct in their design to reach out for sustenance, security, and satisfaction. And it's that imagery that Jesus calls to mind for us, to our imagination, when he says, I want you to find that in me. You also, as a human being, have an instinct to reach out into this world looking for security, for something firm to hold on to. You have an instinct to reach out to find soil to dig into, to find life. And you have an instinct to reach out for the light and the warmth. And Jesus invites you and calls you to find all of that in him. Let the instinct of your soul reach into Jesus and abide in Jesus. I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. You are the branches. This is the imagery. Here's the first principle of abiding. Abide in Jesus or you'll die. Abide in Jesus or you'll wither and die. Does that sound a little bit dramatic to you? It kind of reminds me of the book Cautionary Tales for Children by Hilaire Belloc that we have read to the kids for years. Here's a few of the story headings in that book. Jim, who ran away from his nurse and was eaten by a lion. Matilda, who told lies and was burned to death. Rebecca, who slammed doors for fun and perished miserably. Dads, it's a vital tool in your parenting arsenal to have this book on hand. Abide in Jesus or you'll die. The original first point, the first principle of abiding was consider the necessity of abiding. And I thought that didn't quite capture what Jesus is trying to say. Abide in Jesus or you'll wither and die. Doesn't that really capture the point that Jesus is making? Do you see the seriousness of this statement from Jesus? Let's look at the vine. An independent branch bears no fruit. I see that in verse 4. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, the branch is an independent, it is not an independent organism, it's dependent. So an independent branch bears no fruit. Verse 4 says that. Verse 5 tells us that. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. A branch cut off from the vine bears no fruit. A fruitless branch, Jesus says, will be cut off. In verse 2, he tells us that. An independent branch withers and dies, we see in verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. Without a vital connection to the vine, a branch is fruitless and dead. On my front porch, we have a, I suppose it's a vase, there's probably a better term for home and garden people, but Mandy, from time to time, she'll cut off a branch from our peach tree, which have these beautiful pink flowers, and she'll stick the branch in some water in a pot out on the porch, and it looks beautiful, but it's also a sad and morose and morbid sight because there's a dead beauty withering on the porch at my house. A branch cut off is dead. Without a vital connection to Jesus, he tells us, the human soul is like that. The human soul cut off from Jesus is fruitless and dead. There's something vital in our understanding of humanity. What is a human being in this image of a branch? A vine is an organism. The branch is just an extension of the organism. It has no life in itself. Apart from the vine, it does not function according to its design and purpose. In the same way, the purpose of the man or the woman is to serve as a vehicle through which Jesus expresses himself. The man bears fruit, which Jesus produces. The woman serves Jesus by bearing fruit, by dependent life in connection with Jesus. Henry Lee Poe, describing this, says, the purpose of the branch is to serve as a vehicle through which the vine expresses itself. In this statement on abiding, Jesus answers the great question of human existence. Why am I here? Human meaning finds its fulfillment in relationship to God. Because we were created to bear fruit, which God wants shown in the world, people feel cut off, lost, and isolated when we are not fulfilling our purpose. People everywhere know what it means to search for purpose and meaning. Only by abiding in Christ, a person opens the channels by which God feeds a soul and produces spiritual fruit. Jesus is the vine. He's the living organism. We're the extension of his life, and we have no life in ourselves. Now, someone might be thinking, well, how can that be? I've been living life without Jesus for decades. Have you really? Without Jesus, are you really alive? Henry David Thoreau says, the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with the song still in them. If you've been living without Jesus your whole life, how's that been going for you? What's the fruit of your life? The story of God is that humanity was created in the image of God, walking in communion with God, the source of all life, but cut itself off from God by turning to the creation instead of the creator for life. That left humanity incomplete and desperately searching for a source of life. Restless, incomplete. Does that describe your spirit? The message of Christianity is that God is in the world bringing dead souls back to life, restoring the true design and function of our humanity. The Christian life is a dependent life. Friends, if you try to live the Christian life, if you try to serve God and live a good and godly life without a living, dynamic connection with Christ, you'll feel dead and unfruitful. It will never work. Jesus is clear. Apart from me, you can do no good work, he says. No lasting work that is purely and truly good in itself. There are many Christians, I think, who haven't learned this principle. Some are striving to produce life in themselves. Many Christians feel miserable spiritually because they are striving to, on their own resources, bring fruit into the world and live a life that pleases God. It's impossible, and it's a miserable attempt. Others struggle because they want to be the vine. I know Christians who see their own lives as the vine and Jesus as the branch, which they have chosen to graft into their life. I've got lots of plans for my life. I've got an identity that I'm making for myself, and Jesus is one little portion of that identity that I'm building. It's no good. It doesn't work. Disconnected from Christ, we have no life. We have no fruit. We can do no lasting good, and we'll never experience lasting joy. In summary, if you don't abide in Jesus, you will wither and die. And it could be that there's someone here this morning that is in that process. You might say it's been weeks since you've prayed or opened your Bible. You might say that God doesn't feel close to you. You feel shriveled in your spirit. You feel restlessness and depression and anxiety. And Jesus says, well, of course, that's your experience. Because if you're not living in vital connection with me, you'll wither and die. That's number one. Number two, there's a withered branch. Number two, abide in Jesus and you'll be fruitful. Verse 5, he says, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Jesus is talking about abundance. He's talking about a life that counts, a life that is filled with satisfaction and a sense of productivity and worthwhileness. If you abide in me, if you keep a connection with me, just on the basis of connecting with me, there is going to be an abundance of fruit in your life. Notice the requirement. He doesn't say if you're really zealous, if you're really wise, if you work really hard, if you really persevere. He doesn't say any of those things. He says, abide in me and you'll be fruitful. That's all. You do this one thing, Jesus says, just abide in me. Just root yourself into me. Connect with me and you're going to find fruit bursting out all over your life. I find in that a wonderful promise. Isn't that good? The simplicity of that. I can do that. I can abide in Jesus. I don't know about producing fruit and all that, but I can abide in Jesus. And then he says he'll take care of everything. Abide in him. There's fruit. Secondly, he tells us that there's answered prayer. In verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If you're abiding in Jesus, you're praying. But not only that, Jesus says, if you abide in me, then your prayers are going to get answered. I still don't know exactly what that means, but here I think is the gist of it. The more I abide in Jesus, the more my prayers are shaped by that abiding in Jesus. The more I live in connection with him through his word and a sense of his presence and walking with him moment by moment, the more my concerns, my desires are shaped in the direction that he is looking in. When I'm connected to Jesus, my prayers are different. My desires are different. My perspective changes. And I think that's partly what he's getting at, is that there's a life of prayer that you can have that comes from abiding in Jesus that doesn't just mean closeness to Jesus, but it means that you're going to watch things change in the world because of that connection with Jesus. Third, he says that when you abide, there's going to be the fruit of glory to God. In verse 8, he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. What is the chief end of man? Have you heard that before? The catechism. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. This speaks of significance. Living to bring glory to God can transform the most unpleasant and mundane moments in life. We can participate in the most significant project in the universe when we live for the glory of God. Elizabeth Elliot says that created things bring glory to their creator when they do what they were designed to do. When a cardinal is singing its song on the treetop, it is bringing glory to God. When the grapevine is bursting in fruit, it brings glory to its creator and its gardener. When the Christian living in abiding connection to Jesus is bearing fruit of good works and the fruits of the Spirit, God is happy and glorified in that. And the fourth thing that happens when we abide is that there's lasting fruit. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. This speaks to permanence and an enduring impact. We all want to live for something that's going to endure. We don't want to build castles on the shore that are going to get swept up when the tide comes in. That may be fun for a few minutes on vacation, but that's not fun when it's your life, is it? No one wants to build a life and then wash it, washed away in the end. Jesus says, you abide in me and you're going to do something in this life that will endure forever. No wave can wash it away. No wind can take it and blow it away. Your lawn, your home, your wardrobe, your body, you can invest in all of these things and build all of these things, and it's all going to fade away in the wind. Even the best works, building churches, serving nonprofits, civic and political engagement, it's all a temporary work. Psalm 39:5 tells us that our life is no longer than the width of our hand. Our entire lifetime is just a moment. It is but a breath. But Jesus says, come and abide in me, and there's going to be a fruit in your life that will abide forever. It will endure and last for eternity. I've shared the saying before, three things endure forever: God, the Word of God, and the souls of men. To the extent that you're involved in those three things, you are involved in eternity. God, the Word of God, the souls of men and women. It's only through a living and vital connection with Jesus that we can meaningfully spend our hours and resources with a lasting impact. Let's pause for a moment and reflect. What are you abiding in these days in your life? If we are like a plant that has instincts to root and to reach out and find light and sustenance and something outside of ourselves, where's your heart reaching out these days? Are you abiding in Jesus? Is your soul reaching into Jesus? When you're feeling anxious and stressed, where's your heart reaching out? When you're feeling uncertainty and fear for the future, where does your soul reach out for firmness? When you're looking for significance and a lasting impact in this life, what is your soul reaching out to connect into? Jesus says, come and reach into me and connect with me. Abide in me. What are the practicals? How do you abide in Jesus? I think the one way we abide in Jesus is by meditating on the Word. Jesus says, if you remain in me and my Word remains in you, if his Word remains in us, we're abiding in him. We live in an age of distraction. I don't have to explain or illustrate that, but I will just for fun. The Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago has recently announced some efforts to change the experience of a teenage gorilla named Amare. The people involved in Amare's life have noticed that he has become extremely distracted by people's smartphones. So they're working on limiting his screen time for his own health. Here's how the director of the ape exhibit describes it. We are growing increasingly concerned that too much of his time is taken looking through people's photos. We really prefer that he spend more time with his troop mates learning how to be a gorilla. Even the gorilla caretakers are concerned about the effects of screen time on their teenagers. How do you abide in the age of screens, in the digital age? I don't think you can do it without learning the practice of meditation. I think that there are four steps to meditating on the Word of God that help me. Memorize, visualize, personalize, and actualize. I don't know how you take the Word with you and abide in the Word unless you memorize the Word of God. There's an incredible value that comes from taking one verse out of the Bible and memorizing that verse so that it stays with you throughout the day, so that it rolls around in your head as you go through your life. And it's a tool for the Holy Spirit to use in your heart. Here's how I do it. 2 Corinthians 5:7 is an example of something I've been working on lately. It says, we walk by faith and not by sight. It's not too hard to memorize, so I memorize that. We walk by faith and not by sight. And then as I roll it around, memorizing it in my head, I try to visualize it. Here's how I visualize it. When you think of someone who can't see what's in front of them, but they're stepping out anyway, what comes to mind? Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones stepping out over the cliff, and then suddenly there's a step that appears in front of him. Often the Christian life is like that. God calls us into places where we can't see what's ahead. We can't see the outcome. We don't see the truths that we believe intellectually. We don't feel them in our hearts. But by faith, we step out anyway. And then we meet the solid ground of God's promises and his care for us. So I visualize Indiana Jones stepping out over the chasm and finding solid ground. That helps me settle the meaning into my heart. Then I personalize it. I think through, in my own life, how am I walking by faith and sight? And I found that I have this really strong tendency that I'll only step when I can see. You guys relate to that? I only want to take a step when I see all of the pertinent circumstances and I can visualize all of the outcomes and I know exactly what's going to happen. And otherwise, I don't want to step. And there's particular parts of my life where I think that's true, where I think God wants me to step out into and keep stepping even though I can't see it. And so I'm personalizing it into specific parts of my life. And then actualize is to do it. I'm actively taking steps in my life right now that feel frightening to me because I can't see. And I'm remembering that that's exactly how it's supposed to be in the Christian life. When you feel that unsettled anxiety and that fear that I can't see where I'm going to walk, you're in exactly the right place according to the Word of God. And so I remember that. I memorize, visualize, personalize, and actualize. So if these words of Jesus are not idle words, they're your life, what are you going to do about it? If it's your life, you're probably not going to sit here on Sunday morning and say, good job, preacher, that's good, and then walk away and forget it. You're going to resolve to do something. Here's one thing that you could take with you to resolve to do is I'm going to memorize a verse this week that I can meditate on so that I abide in the Word of God this week. Number two, we can abide in Jesus by obeying the Word. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Obedience does not gain God's love. Obedience keeps us in the flow of God's love. I experience the love of God in action as I step out in obedience. Is there any part of your life right now where you say, yes, I'm not obeying the word of Jesus in this life? Some of you, something comes to mind and you think, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. There's a part of my life where I'm not obeying Jesus and I know I'm not obeying Jesus. Don't you want to experience the fullness of God's love? Don't you want to experience the freedom of walking in the will of God, abiding in him? Someone here needs to make a resolution right now. I'm going to finally get serious and I'm going to obey God in this area in my life. Will you resolve to do that this morning? It could change everything for you. Number three, abide in Jesus by praying continuously. Throughout this passage, Jesus describes prayer. There's no better way to abide in Jesus than by living out a life of continuous prayer. One simple thing I think helps me in doing that is to remind myself to pray about everything. You ever feel like you've got concerns that are too small for Jesus? Or you've got problems and sin in your life that's too low to bring to Jesus? That's a lie that keeps us out of a life of prayer and connection with Jesus that is life-giving. Jesus wants to hear it all. He wants you to bring it all to him. I've been visualizing this as I think about prayer in my own life. I've got sin in my life, and I'm struggling with it, and I'm trying to change. And I feel by my human instinct that when I clean that up, then I can come to Jesus in prayer. Only then, and that keeps me from him in prayer. But that's not the heart of Jesus. Imagine, especially you parents, imagine that your kid comes to you, your little toddler comes to you, and they have just made a mess, pooping everywhere. And they've rubbed it all over the walls, and it's all over the clothes and the bed, and then they realize, oh, this was a mistake. I have a problem now. And what do? They walk right up to you covered in poop. right? And what is a parent, what do you say to your toddler? That's disgusting. Go fix all of that and then come back. Don't talk to me until that's all fixed. You don't. You might want to sometimes. But as a loving parent, you say, oh, let me help you with that. And you wash them off and you throw them in the bathtub and you throw all their clothes in the washing machine and you make your husband go clean the carpet and the walls. And you take care of your child's need. When a child comes to a parent with need, a good parent never says, go fix that and then come back to me. So why in the world do we think God is like that? Why would we think that our Heavenly Father is like that? He wants you to come with all the poop on your face, and he says, come and let me help you. Bring that sin you can't get over. I can help you with that. Bring that shame and that guilt. Bring it all to me and let me help you. Bring that little concern that you probably shouldn't be concerned about, but I know you are anyway, and because it matters to you, it matters to me. This is the heart of Jesus. When you pray about everything, you learn to abide in Jesus. There's also a kind of prayer that listens, because Jesus is the living Jesus. We're not talking to the air when we pray. We're talking to the living, risen Christ. That means he's in the room with us. And there is a practice of prayer that prays and then sits and listens and experiences a vital relationship with Jesus. Notice nowhere in here does Jesus say, abide in Christianity and you'll be fruitful. He doesn't say, abide in Christian morality, abide in Christian tradition, abide in Christian doctrine, abide in Christian politics. He doesn't say any of that. He says, abide in me. Me, the person. This is Christianity. It's abiding in the living person in relationship with the person of Christ. Are you experiencing that in your life lately? Why not make a decision this week to pray about everything that's on your heart and listen and walk in continuous relationship with him? Lastly, we abide in Jesus by resting in his love. Verse 9 says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Love is the water of the human spirit. You understand that? Love is the water of the human spirit. We can't live without love. And when you connect into Jesus, what you will find flowing into you is love. Is anything more meaningful than that? How do you abide in Jesus? You remember his love. The love of a father who is compassionate towards his children, who is full of affection for his children. We are so prone to forget the gospel. The gospel tells us God loves us not because we were lovely, but because he is love. He loved us while we were still sinners. And we believe that, we receive that, we enter into the Christian life, and then we flip it. And we say, okay, now I've got to earn God's love. And God's not happy with me unless I'm doing well and I'm performing well. And somehow we turn the whole thing upside down. I think that there's a few things that can break up our abiding in Jesus. I think there's fear and anxiety. I think there's guilt and shame. And I think that there is distraction. Those are three great enemies that can break our connection with Jesus. And there's one solution to all of those things, and that's the love of God. Are you anxious and stressed in life? What's the solution to that? To root yourself in the love of God. I've got problems in my life. My circumstances are unsettling. I don't know what the future holds, but I know that God loves me. I know that in him I'm cared for. I know that in him I have affection. That's the solution. Are you feeling guilt and shame? Are you feeling isolated and alone? What's the answer to that? Jesus says, come and let me love you. Come and let me wrap you up in my embrace and wipe the tears from your eyes and wipe the mess from your face. Are you distracted by a million things and feeling depressed and empty and restless? Come and let me love you. Come and rest in the deep pools of my love. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity said, "The Christian is in a different position from other people who are trying to be good. They hope by being good to please God, if there is one, or if they think there is not, at least they hope to deserve approval from good men. But the Christian thinks any good he does comes from the Christ life inside him. He does not think God will love us because we are good, but that God will make us good because he loves us. Just as the roof of a greenhouse does not attract the sun because it is bright, but becomes bright because the sun shines on it." Abiding means opening our soul to the love of God. It means opening up everything that I am with all of its imperfections and flaws to be known as I really am and to be loved as I really am. Two products of abiding in Jesus, God will get glory. We've already talked about that. When you abide in Jesus, God's pleased and God is glorified. And that can happen with the most mundane things. That can be with your child in the middle of the night once again as they're crying and you can't figure out what they need. By faithfully abiding in Jesus and obeying him in that moment, you bring glory to him. Maybe it's a job that you think is beneath you and is boring and you're mistreated and not appreciated at work. By showing up again tomorrow and working hard so that God is glorified by your work and abiding in him, that boring job becomes the most exciting thing in the world because you're bringing glory to the God of the universe. It's a great promise. Abide in Jesus and God will get glory. Number two, abide in Jesus and you'll get joy. Jesus says, "I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you," in verse 11, "and that your joy may be full." What does God want for you this morning? He wants you to feel joy. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to walk out of here this morning and feel full of life, to feel happy and joyful. Everything that he has said in this passage is for the glory of God and for your joy. And he finishes the passage talking about love. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. When you abide in Jesus, you're not just a branch in a vine. You're not just an object in an organism. You are connecting with a friend. Isn't that incredible to think about? Jesus says, "I call you my friend. Daniel, I call you my friend. When you abide in me, you are my friend." And there is no greater love than laying down your life for your friends. When Jesus suffered on the cross, he laid down his life and he looked out. Listen to this. He looked out at the people that were crucifying him and taunting him. And he prayed for their forgiveness as he was dying for them so that he could embrace them as his friends. Is there anything like that in all of human history? There's nothing like it. That is the love of Jesus.